Let me just begin by saying that there are two sides to every story, and this is my side, the right one. I used to be anonymous, and nothing, and non-entity.
Olive, that's your name, right?
Yeah, we've had 9 classes together since kindergarten. So here it is, part one.
Do you want to go out with me?
Brandon, just a couple hours ago, you told me you were gay.
You said I should pretend to be straight.
I didn't mean with me.
I am tormented every day at school. Just one good imaginary fling.
Which brings us to part two.
You sent Olive with Brandon?
No, grunt and make it convincing.
Oh. Don't stop!
Oh, I'm not gonna stop!
You ready for the grand finale?
Yeah. What? Thank you.
What's up?
Hello, and welcome to Not Another Teen Podcast, your weekly podcast that celebrates cats and every scene in it. Right, guys? Right.
Oh, yeah, Cats is amazing. 10 out of 10 movie.
Cats.
Okay. Yes, yes, it's great.
But no, it's your weekly podcast that celebrates your teenage coming-of-age films from Easy A to The Breakfast Club. We're all here, and we're here to talk about it. I am your host, Cole Garner, and I also have with me Chris Moran.
Hello, I'm here.
And Pablo Vargas.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, so this is our first episode, so if you're joining us this early, good job. You should be proud. This week, we're in quarantine, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, I'm quarantined in my room right now.
Yeah, so we've been big chilling, and we've been talking about doing a podcast for a while. And so we kind of just sat back, and now we're talking about movies, right?
Yes, I love movies. They're the best.
Mostly all we do.
Yeah, so before we get to the main movie, what have we been watching? I just got done with Netflix's Extraction, produced by the Russo brothers, with Chris Hemsworth. It's not awful. It has like a 10 to 15 minute tracking shot that's all one take.
Dang,
it
really?
It kind of blew my mind.
I haven't seen
all
it yet.
All I heard about it, the action was good, but that's it. That's all I heard about it.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I liked it a lot.
Well, I've been watching, like, Community, the TV show, a lot.
Heck yeah.
I'm already on season 5.
Whole week, mostly been watching It's Sunny in Philadelphia. Today I saw Baby Driver and The Thing.
Ooh,
oh,
The
Thing. I actually haven't seen that.
It's a good movie.
It's really good. I think it's my third time watching it, I believe. I watched it with my cousin, who has never heard anything about it. So to him, this was all new. And my little brother walked out during the dog scene because that was too much for him.
Oh, yeah, the dog scene, dude. Oof.
Literally all I know about the movie is that it takes place in Antarctica or something like that. That's literally it.
It's great. It's really
good. Such a good movie.
I think it's on Shudder, so I'm going to have to check it out.
You should.
They have a lot of Carpenter movies. I think the only Carpenter movie I've actually seen is Halloween.
A masterpiece of a movie?
Sure, let's go with that. We'll probably talk about that eventually on the podcast.
Well, that counts as a teenager movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I only seen Halloween, The Thing, Little Trouble in China, I was called.
Oh, I've seen that one.
I don't know how to say the title.
Little Trouble
Big
in China. China?
Yeah.
Little Trouble in Little China? I don't know. Chinatown. I'll tell you that much, Jack. But that's not what we're talking about this week. We're talking about the 2010 film starring Emma Stone, directed by Will Gluck, Easy A. I've seen this movie before. Chris has seen it before. Pablo, you haven't seen it before, so we're going to start with your thoughts.
It was actually pretty good. I didn't know what to expect. I honestly haven't seen many teenage movies. That should be a shocker. Emma Stone was the best part of the movie, with the main star, of course. It's just and entertaining overall.
Not to get sidetracked already, but we're getting sidetracked already. Emma Stone, I think, is the best part of pretty much any movie she's in. Like Superbad, she has like 10 minutes maybe, and she like stands out as an actress in that movie, which is really impressive.
Superbad,
I honestly sometimes forget she's in Superbad because the main focus are Jonah Hill and Michael Cera, so
they're obviously standouts too, but like the small screen time that she has in it, she's pretty great.
Yeah, she really is, though.
And she's not bad, of course, but I understand what you guys are saying. Just don't really, like, strongly agree.
She's like, barely in it.
Good.
I just think that she's a really strong actress, and I think Easy A is, like, one of the movies that, like, got her up on top. Like, it was before Spider-Man and all of, like, the big stuff that she did.
It was 2 years after Superbad, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Oh, the Easy A. What was Superbad? Was it 2008?
I think 2008 or 2007.
To me, this is her big break, right? In, like, 2012-ish, 2013, FX, they played Easy A, like, 24/7. So I watched Easy A for the first time on TV. And, like, little 12-year-old me hadn't seen anything quite like it. Even, like, the content matter. It's a really... It's kind of raunchy.
Because thinking about it, I think you were probably a little too young for
yeah,
that movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a really raunchy movie. It's probably the first film I saw like it. I hadn't seen many coming-of-age movies at that point, but that kind of gave me a love for, like, this genre because it kind of prepared me for what's coming for us. For, like, even... That was my transition into... until like halfway through middle school is when I saw it. So yeah. Like, it really touches on everything of that high school is about with like the cliques and everything. So yeah, but Chris, you had seen this movie before, right?
Yes, I have. It's a good movie. Like you said, though, it was one of my multiple viewings of the movie, and my opinion really hadn't changed. It's still a really good movie, really solid, and everyone gives really good performances throughout.
Speaking of performances and good performances,
mm-hmm.
we have like a star-studded cast.
Yeah.
We got Emma Stone, we got Amanda Bynes, Stanley Tucci. This is Amanda Bynes' last movie.
Yeah, it was her last movie.
Yeah, and do you guys know why?
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, I don't really know.
Because, I mean, either.
Yeah, she watched herself in the movie. Like, I think it was at the premiere, and she watched the movie. And she hated her performance.
Oof.
And she quit acting.
Dang, just because of that?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't even bad.
No, she's not.
Yeah, she wasn't even bad.
Like, I think she's legitimately really good in the movie, and she's just like, she quit acting.
Oh my god. Everybody has bad roles. I mean, but that was even a bad performance, though.
But yeah, it's such a good performance.
It's a comedy, so she played her role correctly, because that's what she was supposed to do, and she delivered.
Yeah, I've known people like her character throughout high school that were, like, very similar to the way she acts. And so I was, like, whenever I saw that interview, like, a few years ago, I think it was, like, 2018, she did this interview, and I was like, wait, what? Since when is that a bad performance?
Yeah, it wasn't a terrible performance at all. I don't know why she quit.
I just never really thought about her. And I think she's like a Disney Channel actress, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Disney. Or is Disney or Nickelodeon, one of them two.
I think she was like right before our generation hit Nick and Disney, right?
We had probably. Like Gomez
and Demi and all of those people.
Kind of like late 90s, like early 2000s kind of thing.
Yeah, like right before our time, because we're 18, 19.
Yeah.
Well, I'm...
Pablo's the youngest here.
Yeah, I am the youngest. My birthday was only like 6 months ago, I think.
Poor old 18-year-old. But Amanda Bynes' character, she runs like this Christian organization throughout the movie. Well, actually, before we get there, I'm going to tell the people what the movie's about. So you guys heard the trailer at the beginning of it. So it's... The trailer basically tells you the entire movie, honestly. It's all about this girl who is making a webcast. She's explaining all of these things that have happened to her in the past 2 weeks, where she told her friend a lie that she lost her virginity to some college-age guy. And the Amanda Bynes' character hears that and like spreads the rumor everywhere, right?
Oof.
And Emma Stone has a gay friend, and he's getting really bullied. So she like pretends to have sex with him, so they have so the entire school thinks that he's straight. And that starts off a whole chain of events of everyone thinking that she has like the scarlet letter, right? Like the letter A, just like in the book. So
Well, no, I they were calling her slut. You know, they calling her names, they labeled her.
They
call her, like, she basically owned it. Yeah, just because. So, okay, fine. Oh, I'm going to own this. And no, I don't think they were saying anything about her having the label A. She just
she labels herself with an A.
She labels herself with the A.
Yeah, so, like, the movie is based off of The Scarlet Letter. It mentions The Scarlet Letter a lot. It's one of those movies, like, there's, like, this really weird thing in movies where the English teacher has to be talking about the thing that is happening in the world that the movie is living in, right? Like, the English teacher's always, oh, we're gonna read this book, and... That stuff happens to the main character, right?
Yeah. That actually does happen a lot now that you said something about it.
Yeah, I think about it all the time. And this movie, like, I think this movie really takes that and hits the nail on the head.
I think I'm going to start noticing that while we see teenage movies.
I'm sorry. I just ruined that. It's always an English teacher, too.
Always.
Like, I'm not... I don't know about you guys. I do know about you guys because we've had the same English teachers.
That is true, yeah.
My English teachers never talked about anything that was worthwhile
in
the real world.
No, never.
Teachers never cared.
Especially our senior year.
Oh, yeah. We barely did anything in our English classes, which sucks.
It's true.
But whenever we look at, Easy A or Dead Poets Society or Perks of Being a Wallflower, the English teacher is always the one helping, and I'm like, what?
It's like, where is this at?
You need a drama teacher, guys.
Oh, yeah, we had a good drama teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So, now back to Amanda Bynes. she runs a Christian... She runs, the Christian organization on campus.
Hardcore.
And, they're always, having, these prayer circles and worship sessions and stuff all out on the lawn. The beginning of the movie talks about how they, change the school mascot to from the Blue Devils to the Beavers.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's such a
great moment.
That was pretty funny.
Todd, who is the main love interest of the film to Woodchuck Todd. That's one of the best jokes in the movie.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Would have been the type of guy that would have come up to her and just say, "Hail Satan," and walk off.
Dude, her character is literally the worst.
I could see Pablo doing that, though.
I would do that.
Yeah, you definitely would, and I'm not sure if I would do anything to stop you. Because
I wouldn't. I would have let it go.
Actually, a horrible person.
Oh, man.
And the movie gives you an insight into that, right?
Yeah.
Later on in the movie, Emma Stone is, trying to figure out why Amanda Bynes' character is acting the way she is. So Olive goes to different churches, and you meet her dad, played by Fred Armitage.
Dude, I forgot he was even in the movie.
Dude, he's such a small part, and it's so funny.
He does almost nothing. Just seeing him is funny. I don't know how that's possible.
It's Fred Armitage. Maybe it's just because I'm a huge documentary now fan. So I have all of his comedic manners ingrained in my mind.
Yeah, he was actually funny in that show too.
Dude, Documentary Now.
For a priest. No, he plays a pastor.
Yeah, he plays a pastor.
He plays a pastor, yeah.
Yeah, he plays Amanda Bynes' dad. And him and Emma Stone have a conversation about hell.
Yes.
Yeah,
they're talking about it. Emma Stone's like, well, if there's a hell... And there's, the great joke where he's like, there is.
There is, yeah.
Sure, there could be a hell. And he's like, no, no.
No, there is one. It's right under your feet right now.
Yes. That entire sequence is absolutely comedic genius. This movie came out in 2010, right?
Yeah, which is kind of shocking to me.
The music that is used in this movie is so 2010, it's insane. Got a pocket full of sunshine.
It's played as a joke.
Yeah, it's played as a joke.
Yeah, it's played as a joke.
A 2010s song that's playing. We have that awful cover of "I Don't Give a Dang About My Reputation."
Oh, Reputation, isn't it?
No, it could be Reputation.
I think the name of it is Reputation.
But they use a disgusting cover of that song.
I hated that cover.
It's so funny. It's not meant to be funny at all, but it's such a bad cover in that. And, it's, she's making her Scarlet Letter costume, right?
Yes.
During that, the song he's playing, and it almost ruins the scene.
Oh, not good. What about the Emma Stone's parents?
Oh,
dude. What do you say about that?
Oh.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci is freaking hilarious in this movie.
Dude, him and the person who plays the wife, yeah, both Patricia Clarkson and Stanley Tucci are, like, they're the standout parents of coming-of-age movies.
I don't think I've seen these two often. Like, I didn't recognize the parents from anything.
Oh, man, Stanley Tucci. I don't see Patricia Clarkson in a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah.
I see her in a few things. She's in, like, The Green Mile. She's in the original, not the original Annie, the remake Annie a little
the
bit.
The original Annie.
Which is awful, but she's in it. But yeah. She's not in a whole lot of stuff that I've seen. But Stanley Tucci, she's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, he's in a lot.
In The Hunger Games and Captain America, what I'm just saying, but I don't remember him seeing him in those two.
What?
Really?
Actually, I haven't seen The Hunger Games, but I've seen Captain America, and I don't remember.
It's the first Avenger. Yeah, he plays the Doctor, I think.
That's him?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty positive that he plays the Doctor in that movie, but I could be wrong. I definitely remember him in it. But both of them, the way that they play the coming-of-age parents is so different and so refreshing in the genre. It's normally, especially in the 80s movies, like, the parents are always idiots.
They're completely stupid.
Like, they never care about, like, they think about how their kids' lives are going, and this movie kind of flips that on the head, which is what it really EZA does best, is flipping the genre cliches and tries doing it better or differently.
Yeah. Can we talk about the oranges hidden in the scenes?
The oranges.
Random, Chris. That's terrible.
What about the oranges, Chris?
Explain to the audience what you mean about the oranges behind every movie.
The director wanted to put, like, his own kind of thing in the movie, and he decided to try to get an orange in almost every scene.
He pretty much succeeds, too. It's impressive.
Yeah, there's a few scenes in there. There is none, but...
I don't know. Okay, well, it reminds me of a special movie we've seen. Called The Room.
Yep.
Tony was in
Spoon. Absolutely classic.
A picture of a spoon, right? It's the same picture, too.
Yeah, the same picture.
It's the same picture of a spoon in almost every scene. They're like, they both have the same reasoning, but, like, it's not as obvious and easy until the director actually said in the commentary, he was like, oh, yeah, I wanted it to be film school because I just got out of film school when I made the movie. It's like, oh, yeah, I can see it.
He got out of film school before he made that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty...
Did he make another high school movie? I remember reading he made a high school movie. That was going to be his only high school movie because he didn't like the way it went. And then he read the script for EZA and he was like, okay, there's something special about this movie. And I'll direct it.
Yeah, speaking of the script, it was a Blacklist script, which is it's a pretty high up there script.
Blacklist?
Mm-hmm. He produced Fired Up. Movie's not very good.
I've heard of it.
EZA was on the Blacklist for a while, and I think he grabbed it off of that.
Nice. And he made a really good movie out of it.
Yeah, of course. Well, Blacklist scripts normally turn out pretty okay. Like, there's a reason for it, because it's the most prestigious script company that you can get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also the script was, like, written in 5 days, what the screenwriter said.
He wrote it in
5 days, and then he finished it in 2 weeks, technically. In total days, he finished it in 2 weeks. He wrote most of it in 5 days, somehow. Mm-hmm. Then, like, on the last week, on his last couple of days, he had, he wrote the last 10, 15 to 20 pages, and so it took him 2 weeks to finish it.
Whoa.
Dang.
Which is pretty incredible.
That actually blows my mind. From a person who tries to write scripts. that's a really quick turnout.
Makes I don't know think of, how. That sounds rushed, but I mean, looking at how the movie turned out, it's pretty incredible achievement.
Oh yeah.
No, definitely. Like, I think of Suicide Squad, and how BVS came out, they forced the writer to rewrite it in 6 weeks.
Oh my god.
And you saw how that turned out.
Oh yeah, it turned out great.
Yeah, you mean fantastic.
Oh yeah, masterpiece.
Beautiful.
Anybody that hates Batman v Superman doesn't know what they're talking about, okay? I'm right, you're wrong, simple as that. Zack Snyder is the best director of all time.
So, Pablo, I know that you haven't seen a lot of coming-of-age movies. So, it's more of just something I noticed, but the narration in this movie is so different than anything that I had seen that had come out before UZA, right?
Yeah.
And it's because it's filmed on a webcam. Like, she's literally webcasting. Like, she could be, casting on Twitch.
Yeah.
It's just what's written.
It's kind of like Twitch, I guess.
But, like, she's live, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, she basically was, like, just, like, streaming live. So I thought that was really, really cool how that turned out.
Yeah.
It was all something when the internet started kind of booming, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so the screenwriter was really, really smart in how he updated his script, right?
Yeah.
It could have just been her, like, speaking to people, writing it in, like, on an internet blog or something, but that wasn't really how it was going in 2010, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I see, like, coming-of-age movies, and they kind of feel sometimes out of touch whenever they're written by someone that isn't 18 years old, right?
Yeah.
Burt Royal, who wrote the film, he was born in 1977, right? So he was not in his 20s whenever he wrote this film.
No, not even
close. In his 30s.
And he wrote the character so well. Like, almost John Hughes well. Like, every single character is likable, even though some of them are truly awful. Amanda Bynes' character, or the guidance counselor.
Getting off track, right?
The guidance counselor.
But speaking about the screenwriter. I think he only made two movies. He only wrote, I believe.
Yeah, I was looking at that. He did some TV, but he hasn't done many movies. He has
EDA and Barbie, 2018.
Wait, what?
That's it. That's all he made.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Is it 2018? Is that what?
Right there, Barbie.
Is this the one that's coming out soon? Because I feel like I'm excited for that one.
Oof.
Yes, it was in the cast from the Barbie 2018.
Oh, wait.
Margot Robbie.
That's not the one. Oh.
I don't know what this is.
I have no idea.
Like, I know that she's cast in a Barbie movie. That hasn't come out yet.
I don't know if they're still making. I don't know what this is.
Yeah,
I have not checked into this.
Yeah,
now.
I think I read something about that whenever I was looking on the end of a...
Yeah, only two weeks.
Back to the movie.
Let's go back to the movie where it would actually matter. Barbie.
The film is always giving throwbacks to, like, older movies. And obviously, they're, like, classics. But also,
especially at the end.
The end literally references Say Anything, The Breakfast Club, and oh man, the Lawnmower Movie.
The Lawnmower Movie.
What?
I'm pretty sure I haven't seen.
I don't think I've seen that one either.
I'm like, oh, I'm used to that.
Oh, God.
Well, he's probably gonna remember next episode.
Probably.
This
one. There's a coming-of-age movie where the ending is them riding off on a lawnmower, and they do that in this one, too. But also while, like, he's holding up two speakers and all that stuff is happening.
Yeah.
So it's a whole bunch of... The ending is literally just a whole bunch of stuff mashed together. They, like, pump their fists into the air as they ride off into the distance.
Like in they're paying Breakfast Club.
All these other classics.
And it's pretty well deserved, and this movie is very much like them. It's not a John Hughes movie. I consider The Breakfast Club a masterpiece. This one, obviously, it's not a masterpiece, but this is a really good movie, and it deserves to be able to reference John Hughes movies in any way it wants to, honestly.
It's not trying to be more comedic than most.
Oh yeah, like The Breakfast Club is not a comedy, but his other stuff is. But you haven't seen his other stuff, so.
Yeah, which I'm probably gonna have to see, which is surprising because he has so many hits from that time, and I haven't seen any of them.
Well, there's even a scene where it references Ferris Bueller, because she's like, I want my own musical number in the beginning of the film, and later on in the film, she gets her music number.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely Ferris Bueller, right?
Like,
the huge Chicago parade. Which is
I didn't think of that. Movie. Oh my god.
Cole, you're spoiling the movie for me.
No, it's halfway through the movie, please. You'll be okay.
If you haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, there's something wrong with you.
Especially since you're barely a teenager now. You got 2 years left, you haven't seen Ferris Bueller. What are you doing?
I've made a lot of bad decisions, guys. And that is one of them. I have not seen Ferris Bueller.
That's a very bad decision.
That's such a good movie.
I'm going to watch it.
Of course you're going to watch it, because we're going to be doing John Hughes July.
Come on, Pablo.
John Hughes June. That probably makes more sense.
Yeah.
Hughes June, guys.
June.
And we're going to watch all his movies, or some of them.
In June.
At least, we're going to at least be going over all of the coming-of-age movies that he directed, and one he wrote. But yeah, we have the huge technology thing that's happening, and while the movie's updating, and like how fast word is traveling, and her like sexploitation, I guess.
Yeah.
Like where everyone's talking about all the stuff that she's doing, but she isn't doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all using their phones, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the first big coming of age movies to use age of social media and Facebook and all of those things to get word to travel. And
that's how it works nowadays.
Yeah, and it does it really well. And like you can watch this movie now, and it just feels like it came out yesterday.
And the way they shot those scenes too.
They don't have smartphones, but who really cares?
Yeah, and the way
like, that whenever you look at Clueless, they have like the giant phones, you know, like from the '90s. Like it just doesn't really work as much anymore.
Oh yeah, they had those like big phones, didn't they?
Yeah.
Those like brick phones. But also the way they shot those scenes with the word traveling was really amazing.
That one take.
The one shot, yeah, the one take.
I'm guessing that's a lot of walking. Like, from where they had to go, they just sped it up.
Yeah.
Do that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They sped it up, and it's definitely one take. I was watching the director's commentary a while back, and he said it was one take, which is so impressive.
Yeah, because they had to go, like, around the school, like, the whole campus.
Through the school.
Yeah.
Like, go to the basketball court, the football field, all of that stuff. Like, one person steps out of line, and then you have to go all the way back.
Oh, wait, that person in the background looked at the camera and got, go back.
Oh, wait.
The entire film's premise is, like, over a rumor getting out of control.
Yeah.
It's like, how many times have we... Like, I was thinking about this while I was watching the movie again. How many times have we, throughout our high school, since we're in college now, had, like, heard a rumor that was like spreading that fast and didn't even realize it?
Probably not as much as a normal high school person, because I really didn't get into any kind of like drama or anything like that.
I avoided drama. These last 2 years of high school, like, I just avoided it. And I actually heard rumors. I was like, that's nice. And I ignored it.
Yeah, that's nice.
I just didn't care. Oh yeah, that's nice. Walked off. Like, I was in those conversations where people like talking about what's going on in high school, and I'm just there like, that's interesting. I forget it like the next day. Like, I just don't care.
It's literally high school in a nutshell. Oh yeah, that's nice. Oh, guess I'm going now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, really?
I don't care.
Uh-huh.
It's literally high school.
Really? Did I ask? No.
Probably a weird feel back in the day though. Nowadays, well, in our high school, since it was so small, like, that's how
our high school was small.
It was, like, big. Yeah. It blew up. Back then, pretty sure almost, like, every rumor about someone, it just bothered them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably, that's what I think. I wouldn't know, because I wasn't from around.
To summarize this movie, it's basically just high school sucks.
Basically.
High school... Actually, I did not dislike my last year of high school. I think it was pretty good.
The last year was good.
I don't know why. It just went well for me. I remember the beginning of the year, I was like, this is going to suck. And then when it was over, I'm like, oh, it wasn't bad at all.
For a heartfelt moment at the pod, I can tell you why it was better.
Why?
Senior year is whenever we start seeing movies together.
That is true. That is true.
That is true. That's when it started. The fall, we just movies every week.
Yeah, we'll see every week. Honestly, like, movies have always been my escape, especially coming-of-age movies. During high school, I would watch, like, a coming-of-age movie at least 3 times a week. I've seen Easy A so many times just because it's one of those movies you can turn on and just watch over and over. But, like, movies are just an escape.
Yeah.
And especially during senior year, like, we got to have a lot of escapes because we went to the movies every weekend.
That could be the main reason also.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody really treated me like crap that last year. I know that. I'm like, every year before that, there's always someone or a bunch of people that were just, like, being rude. That last year, though, everybody was, like, cool with me.
Yeah, everybody was chill the last year.
Is this popularity?
No, there wasn't really many labels. Like, nobody labeled me. Nothing.
Explain the burrito guy.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay. So, the burrito guy. I was called the burrito guy because I was basically a burrito dealer. I sold burritos legally in the school, and eventually the teacher didn't care. The principal said, "I don't care. It's not killing anyone. It's not hurting anyone." And I made a lot of bank that year.
He did.
How much? I ended up buying a car. My college year.
Dumb. You're the weird person in who's always like an extra. Not like an extra, but like a side character in a coming-of-age movie. Who like does like the weird thing that the audience is like, oh, that's so weird, so funny.
So weird.
That is true. That was Pablo.
Yeah. That's me.
That was Pablo.
He sells burritos.
What?
I said, like, I'm selling burritos.
What? So he sells burritos?
Did they try it? That's a pretty good burrito.
Your burritos were absolutely incredible.
I missed those
steak
burritos.
Steak and rice was superior.
Steak and rice was great. Masterpiece.
Yeah.
You just sit. I didn't have a first period, so I just sit in the cafeteria eating my burrito. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful.
Oh man. No, senior year was actually pretty good.
It was pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
So this podcast is burritos and oranges, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Burritos and oranges.
It's all good. All that matters.
It's all that matters.
Back to the movie. Can we get off track?
Yeah, back
again?
To the movie.
Okay, what are you guys' favorite scenes?
I say the gay guy and Emma Stone whole sequence where like they're planning it out.
Dude,
to
that
the,
was
to
so funny.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
That was the first scene that I saw of the movie whenever I was like 11 or 12. I don't know. Whenever it was showing on FX constantly. Like it was weekly, right? So I was just like scrolling through FX because normally FX played X-Men movies during that time.
Yeah.
And so like I loved watching the X-Men movies on TV. Then like this Easy A came on afterwards and I was like lame and like went away. And I came back to it and it was that scene and she's like ready for the grand finale. It's like, what?
You ready for the grand finale?
Yeah. What? Oh! Cole didn't know what to do at that moment. He's like, what?
What's going on?
What's going on? Oh my god. That would probably be my favorite scene too, though, to be honest.
Oh, it's the
It's stand-up. So hilarious.
It's what makes the movie so memorable.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite scene. Besides the woodchuck character. The whole sequence. That was also great.
When he tries to dunk the basketball, he shows him in the Blue Devil costume, and he like does a flip and dunks it, and then he gets in the woodchuck costume. He just flops. So great. That's the thing about like the little things about this movie that make it so great. It's like it has like the really big scenes, right? Like the grand finale scene.
Yeah.
And like the scene where the camera is moving around the entire school. They have a lot of stuff like that. But they also have, like, the little details of, like, just, like, Woodchuck Todd or, like, just the scenes with the English teacher a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You just have, like, those little characters in the movie that are so memorable, and that's what makes a really, really good coming-of-age movie.
Yeah, wasn't the guidance counselor, like, his wife or something?
Yeah, they were married.
Yeah.
And she had chlamydia.
Yeah.
The best part about the Christian group is that they have, like, each one has their own personality, even though, like, only two of them have lines. Like whenever you watch them in like the worship circle and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they like made like they made like every version of the Christian worship gang, you know? It's so funny.
I was gonna say, not trying to be political, but could we actually like speak about the scene with the devil and the woodchuck compared to like how nowadays everything has to be PC? Can I say that? Would it be like that? Something like that.
Sure, go for it.
Because, you know, the devil, oh, this high school is worshiping Satan, and then they change it to a woodchuck because it's more appropriate for the people. That'd be something that could be compared to nowadays. I didn't think about that until now.
I think that's what the movie was like trying to get off, though, right?
Oh no, I don't know. I think it was just a comedic scene, but like thinking about it even more, like, could we say that?
I think even more than that, like not just being PC, but I think what it's really trying to get off is like how like certain types of religious people. I don't think all religious people, right? I'm a Christian. Like, it's not all religious people, but there are like that certain subsect of religious people that like get really offended over things that they don't typically believe.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's the bigger issue there.
Like, fortunately, we don't see people from our old high school going like, why is it called the Rethel Indians? It should be called the Rethel Rednecks. We don't see that in our high school, like our old high school. But that would be something that would happen in this movie if it was set in our old high school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about time to change that mascot, but not to get too political, but...
I don't know.
It'll probably change in the next couple of years.
It's not our issue anymore. It's not our issue. It already left us.
I mean, it shouldn't be an issue anymore because most people have gotten over that issue.
Right.
They fixed it. But we're a small town in central Texas.
True.
Very true.
That's the one thing that I wish coming of age movies would do better, is that a lot of the time I feel like a lot of the writers went to like bigger high schools.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really enjoy seeing smaller high schools also. You know.
Yeah, because you could probably like relate more to smaller high schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think the high school experience is pretty much the same for everyone, to a point.
No, I don't agree with that. I think everybody has their own experience with high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody's
people
get mad at these movies because they're like, yeah, I can't relate with any of these characters. That's not how my high school went. Side character that doesn't get acknowledged at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I get that. And, like, definitely. But, like, whenever you look at, like, The Breakfast Club and how it's basically loved by everyone, like, you have, like, the few people who don't like it, but there's, like, five different types of people in high school. That's basically it. And that's what John Hughes did really well with The Breakfast Club.
Cool, so, like, cool. Off track. We can't speak about The Breakfast Club yet until June, remember?
But, I know, but I'm going to talk about The Breakfast Club in probably every episode. it's the peak coming-of-age movie.
It really is. I'd say that, yeah.
Even Easy A, it has pretty much every character. Woodchuck Todd is, like, he's basically the athlete, but he's really not. The thing I liked about Woodchuck Todd...
Jocks?
What?
Is there a jock in Easy A? The jock
that,
type of
that's
character?
The thing. There isn't a jock in Easy A.
No.
You think this generation is losing those type of labels?
Maybe in some schools, but not in our school.
No, not in ours. That's the big thing.
Like, yeah, I think that we're always going to have jocks. And, like, all of those stereotypes, I think that those are just legitimately how people are.
Do you think there's going to be, like, combination, like, of both, like, a mix? You know what I mean? Like, some are, like, jocks, but they're also kind of, like, smart somehow.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Definitely.
Sometimes you're like, oh, wait, aren't you supposed to be the jock? But they're also, like, nerd at the same time.
Yeah, I won't call them, like... I don't think that the stereotypes of the coming-of-age genre are, like, just that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think the best part about Todd is that he almost hits the jock spot, but he more hits the person who just doesn't care about high school spot. Like, I guess he's not really a jock. he's the school mascot. He's just really fit.
Yes.
He might as well be a jock with, like, Easy A doesn't have all the stereotypes, so I can see more people looking at Easy A and being like, I don't see me in this movie. Oh no, I see myself in it.
A character. she basically becomes a fake prostitute.
Basically, so, yeah.
I don't think the premise.
High school.
No, I get that, but I think everyone has had. Well, I'm not gonna say everyone. There are a lot of people who have rumors come out in high school that like just didn't happen, and then you just go with it, you know, and you just ride the wave. And I think that this movie just takes that premise and then just ups it to 100.
Kind of like me being called illegal. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have my green card today. Sorry, guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's actually an alright example.
Actually, that was just a joke. Like, most people understood that was just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I get that that's, like, but, like, people saying stuff like that, and then eventually someone is going to believe it, right?
Yeah, I feel like there are people that, no, well, there are people like that. They do believe stuff that are just jokes or lies.
When it starts off with you telling the lie, and you starting the rumor on accident, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Easy A gets that, is she started it, she has to write it off.
Oh, it was kind of her friend who started it. He was like, oh my god, you told me to have sex. Like, no, I didn't. And then she's like, okay, fine. She was like, I'm going to mess around with my friends. And then someone in the background was like,
the binds.
Yeah, she's just...
I'm going to ruin this whole woman's career.
Literally. That's the movie in a nutshell, guys.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to ruin this whole woman's career.
The message of the movie is basically just don't lie. Don't let rumors troll you. And just really be yourself. Would you say that? Pretty simple? It's not really an overcomplicated message, is it? Am I wrong?
That is definitely a message, but that's not the message I took from it.
Not really. Like, I kind of summed it up terribly.
No, not. Like, that's definitely a message. And I understand that. I would say that the message is more don't care about the stuff that's going on around you because there's bigger and better things later, right? That's Todd's entire character, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not paying attention to any of the rumors. He just wants to know her story, right? Because he knows that everything around them doesn't matter. And, like, Brandon, the gay character... Emma Stone tells him, like she's talking to him, and she kind of gets it, right?
Yeah.
Where she's like, why don't you just act straight until you get out of high school? I mean, obviously, that's awful advice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's getting to the theme of the movie. She just does it badly.
Eventually, like, opposite, though, because he, like, remember when she realizes that she doesn't want to do this anymore, someone told her, the gay guy just
walked. Yeah, he ran off with a big black guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally, that's what they tell her.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't want to do it anymore. No, I'm done with it. I don't like it.
He also got that, right? That's still the message in the movie, and it's like, he just ran past it, right?
Yeah.
He decided, I'm not going to do high school. I'm going to move on. So, like, there are bigger and better things, right?
Mm.
So, that's the whole thing that I see in the movie. Like, it's also be yourself and all of that. Like, that's, you can also say Todd is the only character that's ever himself the entire movie, right?
Yeah.
People like him. He owns it.
He owns his lobster hat. He owns the beaver costume. He owns the devil costume. Like, he's just him.
He likes it.
Yeah.
He likes doing that stuff.
He's just like staying out of other people's business type of thing.
Yeah. Like, I think that's pretty much how I sum up my entire high school, is I know that there are better things that are going to be past this, and I just have to get through it now, and eventually I'll be happier down the road.
Yeah.
And, like, even, like, that was just, like, my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, right? That's 3 years of my life. That's a lot of time. But, like, taking senior year, we kind of all got that together, I think, and we're like, there are bigger and better things out there than what's going
like
on
movies.
Around this. And we're just going to go watch movies and not care about you guys.
True. Yeah, that's basically what it was.
Screw Amanda.
There's probably two people around us that we did care.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that we cared about and I hung out with, but we ignored the people who just sucked. And there was quite a bit of people who sucked, I think, anyway.
Yeah, there was a lot.
I don't know, I feel like mostly everybody around me was just, I don't know why. I think even one of my bullies was pretty cool with me that year. I don't know how that happened. I honestly don't know how all that happened for me.
It's the Ritos. You unlocked the code.
Everyone liked me. Like, even everybody was cool with me. Like, the bully was cool with me. Like, how is that possible? I don't know.
Like, anybody who is in high school right now and you're getting bullied, the only answer is to make burritos and sell them in the mornings, and then suddenly your bully is not going to care about you anymore. He'll just eat your burritos and move on in life.
The moral of the story, guys. Sell burritos, make a lot of money.
Burritos, put oranges in your scene, run off with a big black guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you should take away from this.
Okay.
Well, there were a few people, actually, but they just avoided me, and I avoided them, because it was clearly obvious that we didn't like each other. That was it.
Yeah. I think everybody does that.
It's just how it goes, you know. So, yeah. I think that we've come to the end of our podcast. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. But before we go, Chris, where can the people find you?
They can go on YouTube and look up just Chris FM. And it should be the first one that pops up. And my Instagram's basically the same thing. But it's Chris 2_FM.
Okay. Pablo, where can the people find you?
Oh. Not really gonna find me on Facebook, because who uses that?
Amen.
You can find me on Letterbox. Some random Mexican. Oh, they have the type.
Random Mexican.
So that's what I am. Some random Mexican.
So Pablo, what's your MySpace though?
Huh?
What's your MySpace though?
My MySpace. Because it doesn't exist. Oh. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Dang.
And I'll probably create an Instagram, like an actual Instagram account. I'm not really, I'm a big of a social media guy.
But for Snapchat, I definitely have the most social media out of all of us. You can find me at TheColeGarner on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at GeekCenter on Instagram and on Letterboxd. So yeah, that's the episode. Hope you guys will join us next week.
There's a higher power that will judge you for your indecency. Tom
Cruise. Hey guys, it's Cole here with the cold ending. If you enjoyed the podcast, we ask that you write us 5 stars wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode, and you guys will hear us next week as we talk about me and Earl and the Dying Girl.